Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're continuing our study here in the Gospel of Luke, and we ended up in chapter 12 and verse 11. The Messiah is speaking, and he says, "And when they bring you into the synagogues, right, assemblies, and unto magistrates, and that could be courts or any kind of tribunal or private policing power." And it says, and powers, speaking, of course, of governments. And it says force, capacity, competency, privilege, jurisdiction. So you get the idea there. You know, the Messiah is pretty much covering it all. You have your religious assemblies, you have your magistrates, your courts, and you have your governing authorities. And when they bring in whatever the circumstance is that you're forced into, he says, take no thought how or what thing you shall answer or what you shall say. Now, I'm going to tell you what, if they take you in and you're not following, if you're not living a righteous life, yes, if you don't have a desire to live a life that's pleasing to the Heavenly Father, then you're going to be in fear. You got to be walking the walk, or fear is going to overtake you, and that's the fear of man. That's one of the greatest stumbling blocks. That's why people capitulate so easily to the governing powers, because they fear them. Most people fear just mere inconvenience or the thought of losing something, perhaps losing your automobile, because you won't capitulate in order to travel in it, or to losing your freedom, being thrown in jail. Perhaps they might even tase you. Who knows? They might even shoot you, all these things. But all these things up to death, we're not to fear. Up to and including death, we're not to fear. As the Messiah said, no, he says, take no thought about what you're going to answer or what you shall say, because the Holy Spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. And of course, that means that when you open your mouth, the proper words will come out. But of course, if the Word of God is not in you, if you're not living a life with a true desire to please our Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit is not going to be able to help you, because you don't belong to Him. So you better, in that case, you're going to have to count on your own wits, get a lawyer and get bailed out of jail or whatever they do in the world. But He'll give you the words. And you know what? And there's no guarantee here. I don't see the Messiah saying, and then they will let you go and they will not beat you or persecute you and everything will be okay. See, that verse isn't in there. So even with this, even with getting the proper words from the Holy Spirit, His agenda may not be for us to be set free. His agenda may be for us to suffer persecution by bringing judgment upon others, because everyone is judged by what they do with the words, no matter the condition of the messenger and no matter what the outcome is. This is something we've learned from our Bible and from history, that terrible things happen to the Heavenly Father's good people when they're persecuted, up to and including death and everything you can imagine before that. So there's no guarantee that you're not going to be beat. You're not going to be thrown into prison. There's no guarantee that you're not going to lose your property. The only thing He's telling you here is that the Holy Spirit is going to give you the words that the Holy Spirit, that our Heavenly Father, wants you to speak at that time. Because after all, if you've given your life to Him, you belong to Him. And you're there for His agenda, not your own. And His agenda, well, may not be to set you free, but it may be to bring condemnation by His word upon those who took you captive and will do you violence. But if He puts you in a situation, if He allows a situation like that in your life, He will prepare you for it. It's just that I would rather suffer for righteousness' sake than for the sake of my own sin. Don't go out there and do evil and then count on the Holy Ghost to get out of it. It don't work that way. If you suffer for your own sins, if you suffer for your own evil, well, then you get what you deserve. because that is truly why the civil magistrate is there, is to punish evildoers. Though we realize that those magistrates and their policy enforcers, their police, many of them are evil men themselves, and they do evil, and they hate righteousness, so they punish the good as well as the evildoers. Some of them deserve more punishment than they mete out to the true evildoers. Chapter 12 and verse 13, and one of the company said to him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. Now, this sounds fairly like a Greek idea to me, a Roman Greco idea, and it shows you how much the pagan influence had crept into the Hebrew society. We're going to split the inheritance. Okay, they still practice that in the Roman Greco legislatures and law forms that we have today in the courts, where they split the inheritance, you know. Someone kicks the bucket, so to speak, in the world out there, and then their property goes into probate, and after the judges and the vultures get done with it, then they get to split whatever's left over. Now, I like the Heavenly Father's inheritance plan ever. There's no magistrates and judges involved because there's no dispute. The Father would pick the inheritor, or the one who was to inherit, and the one who was to inherit, it received a responsibility to take care of the widows and the orphans of that clan with the property that he inherited, because he would become the head of the clan. And so there's a difference there between his laws of inheritance and the world's worldly laws of inheritance. So I think the Messiah sets him straight. He says, who made me a judge or a divider over you? See, there's nothing in the law that makes God a judge or divider over our selfishness and over the inheritance laws of men. He set his law for inheritance, and there's no reason for dispute. Follow the law. Let the law be your judge. So he uses this as an occasion to give us a little teaching here. And he says to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For as a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, fool, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Yeah, they're nothing. I mean, after you're dead, after you're gone, it doesn't matter. And if you didn't follow the wisdom of the law of inheritance, then it's all out of your hands anyway. If you do nothing, the law form of the civil government will take care of it for you. However, if you read into his law and his law for inheritance, perhaps with a little wisdom, you can do as the scripture said. A wise man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So it's not when I die, you sell everything, split it up, and after the judges and their vultures get through with it, and then it's all gone. Everything you've worked for all your life, it's nothing. But if with wisdom you understand the inheritance, and if the object is to further the kingdom of God, and you want everything you worked for all your life to further his kingdom, then you're going to wisely choose someone to administer that inheritance that has the same object in mind as you do. Think about that. Now, there's a legacy. Chapter 12 and verse 21. So he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. And he said to his disciples, therefore say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? Yes, which of you, by thinking, can make yourself a couple inches taller? No, you don't have that kind of power. If you, then, are not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies of the how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say to you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And I see something here in our Messiah. I see that he was a very, very thoughtful man. You know, perhaps he sat someplace and he meditated on this thing, these very things that he was talking about. And he took notice of the lilies of the field. And here he shares this wisdom that his meditation, you know, everywhere we are, whatever we're looking at, we need to meditate on things like this and think about the Heavenly Father's word. We need to bring it into every area of our life, whether it's just sitting on a rock somewhere and looking over a meadow. We're seeking first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, but let's get to it. He says, If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And here we have it from Luke. In the other gospel it says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And here in the Gospel of Luke, they translated the word that is translated into Gentiles in one instance, translated into nations in this other instance, to give you a better feel. And, you know, I live in a nation called America. Yes, it was a nation that was formed, about 150 years ago. That's right, 150 years ago. And I don't know how many of you have seen that movie called National Treasure. And there's a line that the main character has in that movie, which stuck in my brain because, kind of interested in these type of things. But the line was this. It said, before the Civil War, they used to say, the United States are. After the Civil War, they say, the United States is. And they're acknowledging in that single line given to the main character in that movie, National Treasure, a hidden truth that probably escaped the minds of most people. Most people did not get it. But the change in the character of the beast that rose up in the wilderness. And yeah, the beast can change character according to the head of the beast. So a nation. But in the nation where I live, they seek after things. He says, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. The nations of the world. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? But he says, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. So what he's telling you is don't doubt that the Heavenly Father will provide these things for you. You can. You can seek first the kingdom of God. And that's what he says here. He continues, for after all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. You know, what a wonderful assurance. I went to the public schools, and they taught me all about how I needed to get a career, And pretty much the thing is this day is they teach the women to practice abortion and birth control because, oh, they don't want to start a family because how are they going to get the things that they need? How will they have a house and a car and how will they get clothing and food? They have to worry. Be of a doubtful mind. Yeah, that's right. Be of a doubtful mind. Get it together first. Seek after the things. And then you can take your ease and then you can have children and so forth. Yeah, it's the wisdom of the world. Total opposite of the wisdom of our Creator, which He gives us here by His own word. All these things do the nation seek. And you know, here's another thing. You can seek things. And you know, you look around the world, there are homeless people. And most of the people on the planet are very, very poor. And many millions starve to death. So the odds are that, you know, you can seek things. And if you live in a land of plenty, like the land we live in, regardless of the phony financial cogitations that they have going on right now, we still live in a land of plenty, a land of prosperity for whatever reason. And people seek after things and they love money. And that's what they learn to do, to seek after things. And they may or they may not get the things. Or they may become slaves for those things because they're seeking them first. So you may or may not get the things, and you certainly will become a slave to the things if you seek the things first. And you may become a slave to acquiring things that you don't have. You know, probably, you know, the people that don't have money, I would say probably love money just as much as the people who have millions and billions of dollars. And they worship money just as much. Some worship it because they have it and because of the power it gives them. And then some worship it for the lack of it. And you'll find them down at the liquor store every payday buying lottery tickets. Yes. Waiting for their boat to come in, seeking the things. But here, I got a deal for you. All you people out there seeking things and living in poverty, thank God for your poverty. Thank God that you aren't ruined by money for the fact that having too much of it or being overtaken by it. You could thank God for your poverty because there is another way, and it's the way that He offers you. He says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. You know, it's a good thing that a man wants to provide food, housing, clothing for his family, and it's an even better thing if he is willing to work hard for that. Because the scripture says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. So you can seek after the things and you can work hard for them and you may or may not get them. And you may get them, but still your focus may be wrong if you're seeking the things first. Because I'll tell you what, seeking first the kingdom of God is hard work. That's right. Because our Heavenly Father does not have any slackers in His kingdom. So when you work for the Heavenly Father, you're going to work hard, but you're going to be glad. And you're going to be fulfilled. And He says that don't worry about the things. Put me and my kingdom first. Live a life with a true desire to please me, the Heavenly Father would say. And if you have a true desire to please Him, then you're going to be working hard to do those things which please the Heavenly Father. And you don't have to worry about it. The things will come. So you can seek first the things. And the riches of this world, you may or may not get them. You may become a slave for them. You may end up in poverty, or you may end up living from paycheck to paycheck, running down to the liquor store to buy a lottery ticket every week, hoping for your boat to come in. Or you can seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And not only will you get eternal life, but you'll get everything that you need too. And what a deal. You know, that's the best deal out there. Nobody's been able to show me a better deal get these atheists always attacking me all the time. I get messages from them every day because I've got a few videos out there. But never has one of them offered me anything better than what Yahshua has offered me. None of them have offered me anything better than the Heavenly Father has offered me through His Son. And that is eternal life and peace and a glorified body and no sickness and no death and no suffering forever. Peace and happiness in the world to come. Come on, all you atheists and all you critics out there and all you unbelievers. You know what? You got nothing for me. Where's the better offer? See, I found the best offer out there. And why would I want to leave that when you're offering me nothing but dirt? That's your hope. It's dirt. You're hoping that God doesn't exist. You're hoping that there is no afterlife. And so you're offering me dirt. It's not a very attractive offer. And I'm telling you, it's a lie. Because it ain't just dirt when your mortality ends. Fear Him who can cast both body and soul into hell. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back after some messages here. Stay tuned for the news.